Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Hello and welcome to the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with John Dixon and myself, Ben Emmett. Good evening, John, firstly.
And good evening, Ben. Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone, indeed. As always, you can contact us by email, and our email address is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. And the text and WhatsApp number for the next 27 and a half minutes or so is 087-179-1032. That's 087-179-1032. We're also available live as on the internet at dublincityfm.ie and also as a podcast, so you can catch up with us later in the week. But we're going to start, as usual, with what to see in the night sky, John. The night sky getting darker earlier.
It certainly is.
It's a grand contraction in the evening as we head towards the equinox later this month.
It's something to look forward to. The International Space Station back into our skies just a little more than a week's time on the 14th of September. And it will be around until October the 3rd. Now, I did make a faux pas with you last week because I said it was the 12th. And we passed it on, but it is in fact the 14th, put that in your diary as well. So that's something to look forward to. We'll give you the time of that this time next week for a day or two ahead as well.
And if you want to, if you're an early bird, you'll be able to see it tomorrow morning at 5:21 a.m.
Yeah.
But as you say, if you want to wait for a more sociable hour in the evenings, it's the 14th. It'll be back.
Now, Mercury and Mars are out of sight in the glare of the sun at the moment, unfortunately, so they're not around. Venus, a fine sight, -4.6 on the star scale, is emerging low in the dawn, so look for it due east and you'll get a good view of that. Jupiter, I was out watching that last night, would you believe? 2 o'clock.
I caught a glimpse of it as well, a bit earlier than that now.
Yeah, and now the moon moves quite quickly, so you would have seen it a little bit closer than I did at 2 a.m. this morning. And Jupiter was just to the right of the moon.
Oh, I was out. Yeah. It must be a couple of hours earlier because it was slightly to the left of the moon.
Yeah, the moon. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's remarkable if you watch, because the moon moves at its own face at its 3,000 kilometers in 1 hour across. So that possibly earlier on it would have been across to the right-hand side of Jupiter. And then I saw it at 2 o'clock. The moon was to the left of Jupiter. So just to show you how quickly the moon moves across our sky as well. So Jupiter's only -2.6, but it is still a fine sight in Aries. And it rises just an hour before, or should I say after dark. Watch for it to come up low in the east, northeast. Yep, I have that pinpointed now. And it shines highest in the hours just before dawn. Saturn, quite dim, +0.4. In Aquarius is the star low in the southeast in twilight. So you have to think about that one, southeast. Yep, that's right, we have that marked as well. It was in opposition last week, and it's at a good height for telescopic observing by 11 p.m. So if you have your telescope, there's a few good ones to watch there. In the evening skies, you can have Saturn, then the early morning, sort of in through the night, Jupiter, and in the early morning with Venus, Uranus and Neptune. The two elusive ones, the ones that are really difficult to see, 5.7 and 7.8 in the star scale. And Uranus is nice and high in the hours before dawn, 7 to 8 degrees east of Jupiter, so still rather difficult to see. And Neptune is fairly high by 10 or 11 p.m., 23 degrees east of Saturn. So they're not miles and miles, well, they are miles and miles away from each other, but when you look in the evening skies, they're not that far apart, so something to look forward to. And funny enough, I have a little app on the phone for my front screen that shows you where the planets are, which is actually on the iPhone, and it's quite a nice thing to see. I don't know if you've seen that, have you?
Oh, you did show me, yes.
It shows you exactly where all the planets are in real time.
Scale, well, little version of the solar system, where they are relative to each other, looking down from above.
It's pretty interesting to watch as well. So that's what's happening in our sky. Oh, yeah, I wanted to mention the red spot of Jupiter. And it appeared at 1:46 a.m. this morning. And if you want to see it later on this evening, 20 to 10, that's a fairly sociable hour, just 37 minutes, and you'll get to see it for half an hour or so as it speeds its way across the face of Jupiter. So that's the great red spot. Yep.
Thank you, John. Of course, we have the moon and the sun, and the moon is not visible at the moment from our vantage point here in Dublin. At the moment, it's a 61% waning gibbous moon, but it will rise just before 10 p.m. this evening, and it will be due south of us in the early hours of the morning, or mid-morning actually, 6:35 a.m. as it's getting bright, and it will set again tomorrow at just after 3:30 in the afternoon. At that stage, you'll be down to a 53% waning gibbous moon. So, of course, that's when it sets in the 3:30 tomorrow afternoon, and it will rise again at 10:24 p.m. tomorrow evening. At that stage, it'll just be shy, just a little bit more than 50%, as it's just shy of coming up to the third quarter, which will be just a little bit later tomorrow evening at 11:20. To be precise. Now, we mentioned the length of the day and the shortening of the day, or the daylight hours. The sun will rise tomorrow in Dublin at 6:42 a.m., which is 12 minutes later than a week ago. Local noon in Dublin is at 1:23 p.m., which is 2 minutes earlier than a week ago. And the sun will set at 8:03, a whole 16 minutes earlier than a week ago. And then from that time until 8:39, we'll have civil twilight, and from then until 9:23, we'll have nautical twilight, and then from then until just after 10:10, we'll have astronomical twilight, and from then on, we'll have astronomical night. But what does that mean? It means there's 28 minutes less daylight than a week ago, and tomorrow will be another 4 minutes and 7 seconds shorter again, when the time between sunrise and sunset is 13 hours and 21 minutes. John, I forgot to tell you about, I was away in Metropolis at the weekend visiting my sister and a partner down in Cork, and he was showing me his sundial at the back. Mm-hmm. And it is specially made for that latitude. It has written on it the latitude, and the longitude is something like 51, 52 degrees north. And minus 6.8, I can't remember exactly, but it was made specially for that latitude and longitude, and it's specially designed, you know, the triangular piece that casts a shadow, that there's a little groove in it, that on the solstice it casts, you can see the shadow, the shadow of that groove traces a line. There is a line engraved onto the base plate of the sundial, and you know it's the solstice because the two of them align up, and there's a little bit at the end there where it makes what reminded me of this was because of the equation of time. There's a little diagram about how much you should add or subtract because of the equation of time, because it's every day. It's not always 24 hours between each successive when the sun passes the meridian. Just all right, throw that in.
I find that is interesting because I didn't know that something like that existed. I thought it was just the way that you aligned it up with the sun. I thought you aligned it up with the sun. So who set his up, I wonder? Was it himself?
I think so. Yeah. Well, I suppose you can work backwards from when you know what the equation of time is, zero, and if it's a nice day, sunny day on that day, and I think the equation time is zero on the 1st of September. Not sure about that. Mm-hmm. And then on that day, you could set it up so that the shadow casts it when the sun, and you know what time the sun passes the meridian, you can adjust it to so that it casts the right shadow at the right, on the right part of the dial. and then you can work from there. I just asked him, do you come out when the clocks go forward and backwards, do you rotate clockwise and anti-clockwise 15 degrees to make over it? But no, you have to take, of course, you have to
just
take into account for that. Just add an hour for the summer. But anyway.
We would have been lost in July.
That would have been
23 days.
No, what time of the day?
Straight rain.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't too much sun. Good week this week for sunshine, so let's keep it that way as well. Now, there are a couple of things happening around Dublin this weekend. One is the Astronomy Ireland Starbecue this Saturday coming. And this is the biggest annual 32-county event. Now, both of you and I have been to these and officiated and done all that sort of stuff. There will be large telescopes, and you get to see loads of the wonders of the universe, including Saturn and Jupiter, because they're the two.
They're good at the moment.
Yep, they're pretty good. Saturn, I'm not sure what angle the disc is with Saturn. It doesn't really matter, but I can still hear gasps of people the first time they've ever seen Saturn through a telescope. It's remarkable to hear. And of course, there's a bit of food there as well, a barbecue. Now, get there early. I did it once, got there at 6 o'clock, it was all gone. Oh, shit. You know, they would expect a slice of lettuce or something like that to be left, and not a thing. There's a lot of great talks. There's the astrophotography with the DSLR, which is on my list. I just haven't got around to it yet. Yep, so we'll have to do that. So that's Anthony Lynch of the Republic of Astronomy fame. And, of course, David Moore doing his bit, a little walk around the universe. Lots to see, of course, in the hall with lots of displays, trade stands, exhibits, and of course the Irish Rocket Society do their little launching thing. Now, they lost it in the trees there last time I was there. It took them ages to retrieve it. And the place is Roundwood in the GAA Club in Roundwood, County Wicklow, this Saturday evening. As I get there early, if you want information and want to buy tickets for that, it is astronomy.ie/SBQ, Starbecue. Or you can email at admin@astronomy.ie, or you can call us, call them, of course, on 086-0646-555. So that's this Saturday.
Meanwhile, the Irish Astronomical Society are involved this weekend in the Phoenix Park in conjunction with the OPW as part of Biodiversity Week. I shall be there between 8:30 and 10:30. I think it's in the Interpretive Centre, almost sure of that. And again, telescopes on view, be able to see, of course, Jupiter and Saturn. And that should be a good one as well. And the following Saturday, then, there's a little trip to Birr. See the old Leviathan telescope. There's a great little museum there. As you know, the telescope there, the big 2-metre Leviathan, was, for 50 years, it was the largest telescope in the world. It was the 3rd Earl of Ross. Mm-hmm. And it was him who discovered and did those wonderful drawings of the M51, isn't it? That spiral galaxy, the Whirlpool galaxy. And that was just in the very early days of photography. But I know there are some photographs of, I'm not sure he took some astrophotography, but he certainly did some sketching. And there will be some talks as well, and there'll be a astrophotography workshop for those who want to do it, and other talks on the visit to the museum. And I think we're going to see the LOFAR section as well.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah,
check Irish Astronomical Society for that.
Yep. Anyway, I have a pal who's got greatly into astrophotography, and he's literally brand new into this. He's just bought a telescope recently, and he's been talking about stacking photographs, Ben, and I got him to explain it to me one night, and I still have no idea what he's talking about. Seemingly you've got to take a photograph, then you have to take a photograph with the lens cover on, and then you have to take one with it off, then one with it on again, and things like that, and it just doesn't make sense. I just let the camera do its stuff and see what it can take. So there's a huge amount into astrophotography, so don't forget, if you want to go around and learn a little bit more this weekend in Roundwood, County Wicklow, the Starbecue on this Saturday, the 9th of September. And I don't know if you saw, but I did. I saw a glimpse of the supermoon last week on the way home would you believe, through the rear view mirror. And after that, there was nothing. It was cloudy, so I didn't see anything. But it is a fantastic sight of the blue supermoon.
Super blue moon. I didn't see it last week. I saw some of the previous one.
Not going to happen again until 2037. That's the super blue moon. So
very
another 14 years time or so.
Impressive. Now, the Indian Space Agency, John, they've been very busy. Oh, you're listening to the Astronomy Show here on 102.2 Dublin City FM with John Dixon and myself, Ben Emmett, and our email address is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie, and the text number and WhatsApp number is 087-179-1032. That's 087-179-1032. And we're also available live on the internet at dublincityfm.ie and as a podcast. Now, I was just about to say, John, the Indian Space Agency are really very busy. As you know, they landed their little rover near the south pole of the moon, about 70 degrees south of the equator. And the only on Saturday thereafter launching a probe to study the sun.
Now, this was kept very quiet. They didn't ring us up to tell them they were doing it.
We all had our eyes.
So I watched the launch. I didn't see it actually live, but I did watch the launch. And you and I have spoken about this as well. With those particular types of rockets, they just ignite and they're up. There's no delay at all whatsoever. They just ignite and they're off the platform. So maybe that's just that little bit more on the light side, I suppose, than the super duper rockets. But it's remarkable to see as soon as they hit that switch with the with the lighter. Up they go. And talking about launches and things, SpaceX has sent another 22 Starlink satellites into orbit in its 60th launch of 2023. 22 new Starlink internet satellites started orbiting the Earth after a successful launch by SpaceX last Thursday night from Cape Canaveral, the Space Force station. So no doubt there are all sorts of little experiments and things in those that we don't know about. So they're only the size of a shoebox, you know, that's, or even a little bit bigger. So there's a lot of those little fellas up there.
Thank you, John. Now, last week we were mentioning that there were 11 people on board the International Space Station from 5 different countries. However, 4 of them came back to Earth on Monday morning. It was only yesterday morning. They landed in their SpaceX Dragon spacecraft off the coast of Florida. They were NASA astronauts Stephen Bowen and Woody Hoberg and United Arab Emirates astronauts Sultan Al-Nedi and the Roscosmos cosmonaut Andrei Fedyev. And they returned about 7:15 Irish time yesterday morning, I believe, and of course they're going to retrieve the capsule and check it out and even prepare it for its next flight. So that's if you remember back in the Apollo days, they were once off uses, but like the stages now, the capsules themselves are going to be multi-purposes, and even the engines on SpaceX, isn't it? His Mr. Musk's rockets, they're being used for, I think the ones that are going to be on the Artemis 2, which are going to take some people as far as the moon next time, the engines on those have been already used something like 5 times.
Yeah.
So it makes things a lot cheaper for a start.
Certainly does. Certainly does. I just caught this one during the week as well, Ben. There's a lot of research going on around the Olympus Mons area on the surface of Mars, and researchers are analysing images of the tallest volcano in the solar system, which is 30 kilometres tall. They say that if you were to start walking up from the outermost skirt of it, you wouldn't actually feel the rise because it's so huge. You wouldn't survive here on Earth because the Earth is, the gravity would pull it down and make it much smaller. But seemingly, the northern region, there's a big wrinkled patch of land near the mountains area where blisteringly hot lava oozed out of the summit millions of years ago, and that wasn't yesterday or the day before. The lava is thought to have run to ice and water at the mountain's base, resulting in landslides. And it's fascinating to see, but the photographs we're getting back from Mars from all the different spacecraft is absolutely mind-boggling and well worth a little wander around Google world.
Yes, I believe Olympus Mons is something like three times the height of Everest.
Mm-hmm.
And the width at the base is the width of France, and it's a gradual climb. There's no, as you were intimating, there's no severe climbs. It's a nice gradual walk up, if you could walk up it.
Yeah, except for the last little lip just before you hop into the crater itself. I reckon it's over 1,000 kilometers wide, which would make it probably the width of France or a little bit larger than. So that's worth a little look if you're an internet surfer. Here's a good word for you. Now, Chandrayaan 3, its rover and lander, they're in sleep mode, but might wake up later this month. And they've completed their primary mission goals and now preparing for the upcoming 2-week lunar night. So this is what's happening up there. And they probably will just let it have a little snooze, let the sun come round again and charge up the batteries again. So this was the Indian first successful attempt to land on the moon. Of course, as we remember that, not so long ago. And in the southern lunar region, where it's just on the edge of where water ice, or what we would call probably carbon dioxide water ice, whatever it is up there. So it spent a little under than 2 weeks exploring the promising area where deposits of frozen water might exist, trapped inside the permanently shadowed craters. And this is one of the areas that they're looking to put humans up, is in the bigger craters where the shadows never ever see the sun, so they can gather some water to help them build and do all sorts of things.
And make hydrogen from?
Yeah.
Through electrolysis and separate the hydrogen and the oxygen and the water for rocket fuel and other sources of energy. And thanks to Alan for his text. He's in Kildare. He said he saw the brightest meteor flash in the southwest Kildare skies quite by accident. I don't know when he saw it. But it's always a good one to see.
You and I would get to see
a blue-green tint in the final burnout.
Yeah, you and I would get to see this because we look up quite a lot when we get out of the car. Mm. We're walking around, we're looking up constantly. And I got two recently that were huge. Now, they feel like they're just falling next door in the field.
But they're probably 100 miles away or so. Actually, again, quite by accident as I go out, I look up. And yesterday, as we mentioned earlier, I saw Jupiter next to the moon and looked up and said, oh, Deneb should be overhead. And
there
it was. Cygnus, there it was, as it should be. And I'm looking at Cygnus. And there's an extra star on Cygnus. Is it a supernova? But then I noticed it was fairly dim, but it was then saw it was moving, so it was
a
satellite. No, it wasn't an airplane. It wasn't flashing lights. It was just that steady, constant, same magnitude all the way, and just moving from, I was going to say polar. No, it was west to east. Yes, it was a satellite.
Yeah,
it's quite which one though? I don't know, but
it's quite.
I think heavens above, you can track them down and see which one it is.
Of course, you can. Yeah, they know exactly where they are. Well, hopefully they do. Anyway, it's quite good fun to go out. You spend about 15, 20, maybe half an hour, minutes, just observing the sky, because your eyes get rapidly adjusted, and you can get to see an awful lot more than the first time you go out. And you get to see satellites all over the place. There's the odd shooting star here and there. You probably get with 2 an hour. Ballpark, if you're lucky, and you've got to go, where do I look? And suddenly you see one in the corner of your eye, and by the time you've looked around, it's gone. So it's potluck, but that's what we do. It's a good one.
Alan says the one he saw was on Sunday night.
Yeah.
It could be one of the tail end of the Auriga's, maybe.
On Sunday, what date was Sunday?
It could be, but it depends. That's just a wild guess. Next up.
Yeah, it's the NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter has observed the crater. Now, this was interesting. That was made from the Luna 25 crash. That was the Russian one there not so long ago. And if you look at this particular one on the internet, it gives you two photographs, one before and one after, like last week, and then the one where the impact is. And with the size of it, it's made a right mess of the surface, about probably 25 kilometers of a smack of when it raises the dust and everything, it looks a bit white and everything. So it's interesting. It seems to be the site from the Luna 25 impact. So that's another thing you could have a look at. As I was watching this today during lunch, and it's like having a piece of paper on top of another. When you flick it back and forwards, you see that there it is, there it is, and there it is, there it is, and it's good fun to do that as well. So, yep, so there we go. So they found the landing site, so no doubt they'll be doing a couple of experiments and more photographs to see probably what the damage is. But how far were they up? Probably 100 kilometres or so. So it's quite hard to see. So no doubt when they come in a little bit closer on some of the elliptical orbits that they do, they'll get a better photograph.
Okay. Now you reckon it's more than likely the result of the crash of the Luna 25. Mm-hmm. Now, before we go, see, it's a new planet. Well, it's a Neptune-sized planet, not in this solar system. And it's been, they've done some calculations and some studies, and believe it is denser than steel.
Yeah, read this too earlier.
It was, and they believe its composition could be the result of a giant planetary crash. Its mass is almost twice that of any other similar-sized planet known, and its density is incredibly high, meaning that it is made up of a larger fraction of rock than would typically be expected at that scale. They think it has little or no atmosphere. They're going to do some further studies to see if that is the case, but that's why they reckon it is so dense that it's the result of an impact, and some of the more volatile ones were blasted off into space, a bit like how they think the moon formed. And the early Earth was hit by something the size of Mars, and the heat caused by that impact sent the more volatile material into space, which eventually coalesced and became the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is interesting. Now, just before we go, Ben, the helicopter Ingenuity, you know, that little drone-y type thing with all the blades, it has completed its 56th flight at this stage. And it's far surpassed expectations on Mars. It's even taken photographs of the mothership it arrived in on. It flew 1,334 feet, which is a little over a quarter of a mile across the Martian surface last Saturday. And the tiny chopper flew at a maximum altitude of about 39 feet above the surface. So it gets some pretty good pictures as it goes along. And this little guy cost $80 million. $80 million to put up onto Mars. And it's first flew at what has been called the Wright Brothers Airfield on the Martian surface in April 2021. That's remarkable. That's 2 years ago.
I read that figure, $80 million, but I assumed that was a typo.
No, this has appeared quite a number of times now at this stage, but, well, I suppose it's not very big. Yeah, where they spent $80 million on the technology. I suppose it's the research and technology as well. So,
okay.
Anyway, that's it.
That's all the time we have this evening. Thank you, John, for that. I think next week I was going to mention the OSIRIS-REx, the return of some asteroid samples, but that's coming up later in the month, so we have time to do that. Excuse me, next week. I look forward to that and getting the samples and studying them. But that's all the time we have this evening. Here on the Astronomy Show, here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. We'd love to hear from you. You can write to us anytime. astronomy@dublincityfm.ie is our email address. Thanks to John for his news items. But that's all from me, Ben Emmett, from this edition of the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Up next, it's Hello China. And at 9 o'clock, we have Bren Lynott with Threads. And at 11 p.m., Nigel Woods' World Music Mix with a program called Ear to the Globe. And then from midnight until 2 a.m., we've Dave Barry with his program called After Hours and his mix of jazz, blues and soul. But until next week, when you can please join myself and John, then we'll be back with all the latest news from around the universe. Until then, take care of each other. Thank you for listening. And say goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.